This episode was originally a live conversation which took place at the Leaders in Startups event in September 2023.
We almost went with an investor that could have potentially wrecked the whole company, and maybe I wouldn't be working at Beekeeper anymore because our values were just so distantly apart from each other. But we were in a situation where we had 3 weeks of runway, we were running out of money, it was a huge term sheet we had on the table, and we almost compromised that.
Welcome to the Swisspreneur Show, a podcast about startup stories and learnings from experienced entrepreneurs. Here's your host, Anzuya.
Chris, you're the co-founder and CEO of Beekeeper, a company that turns 12 this year and has gone through all sorts of changes. It started out as a dating app, and nowadays it's a frontline communication and productivity app.
Correct.
So how was your role at the beginning, and how has it evolved? If you could share some milestones as well.
Yeah, sure. Thanks a lot for the invitation, and great to be here with you, Anzuya. So as you say, it has been a very wild ride over the last 12 years to go from a two-people team to now 220, and going over different phases from radically pivoting from a B2C model to a B2B model, and then growing from there. So I think my role at the beginning was very much together with my co-founder Flavio. At the beginning, he was the one coding and doing the product, and I was pretty much doing all the rest from sales, marketing, trying to get users, a bit of product management, and all the back of the office. So that was a very fun piece. And I think the first phase was definitely finding out our business model, our product fit, who do we sell what for how much, and how do we make money. So I think that was a very exciting phase where we went through many different changes, as you said, from a dating app to then a student community to then what eventually became Beekeeper. I think that was phase number one. Big milestone there was, of course, to get to something that we could sell and people would want to pay for. Then it definitely changed into something more like, okay, let's make sure that we can repeat this a couple of times, that there's a bit of a market there that we can attack and prove that we can grow the business, right? From maybe a few hundred K in ARR to the first couple of million in ARR. That was definitely a phase more where you are in the trenches, you're still selling. I was still selling a lot, doing a lot of the face-to-face with the customers, with partners, raising money. So it was another type of role, the one I had still as the CEO. And I think the big milestone there was probably when we hit our Series B, where it was more about, okay, now let's continue to grow from the couple of million into the tens of millions and beyond. And it's then more about building a team, building an organization, becoming more efficient, thinking about processes, and so on. So I think those have been maybe in rough cut the bigger phases, from going from zero to one, then from one to a few million in revenue, and then from there onwards. And each one of them with, yeah, a number of very fun and exciting types of challenges.
I mean, with so much pivoting that has happened, especially for your company, what has kept you motivated? So what motivates you and what motivates your team as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so for me, one of the most motivating things, I'm an engineer by background and I love building stuff and fixing stuff. So finding big problems to solve for our customers is exciting for me. And same building a company around it to really make a business out of it. So that's one of my, I find that's a complex, difficult problem that involves customers, markets, people, products, etc. So that's something that really excites me. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, particularly what we're doing at Beekeeper is something that for me, but also I know for our teams, unleashes a lot of motivation, the fact that our technology and what we do is really having an impact in the frontline workers. So frontline workers are for us people that don't spend their time, probably like most of us, in front of a laptop or a PC, but much more really doing things with their hands. So the housekeeper in a hotel cleaning a room, or somebody in a retail store filling up the shelves, and so on. And we believe frontline workers have been forgotten and disregarded for a very long time when it comes to technology. So our big mission is to connect those frontline teams with everything they need in order to do a great job. because we believe two magical things happen with that. One of them, the frontline workers enjoy more their work. We make their life a little bit easier. And the businesses that they work for also thrive. So there's also a clear business impact there. And I think that focus of we're actually doing something really good for a segment of the workforce that is, by the way, really big, like 2 billion people worldwide, is very motivating for all of us at Beekeeper.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. And for you personally, like as you're leading this venture, what parts comes more naturally and easier for you and what is rather a bit harder for you to do?
Yeah, so I think the easier parts for me have always been connecting with people, so be it employees, customers, or partners, or investors, that part I enjoy a lot, being one-to-one in front of them and kind of like sharing with them why they should become our employees or our investors and so on. So that's something I definitely enjoy. The parts that I enjoy less, I would say, are things when they put a contract in front of me and I have to read through it. So going into those details and so on, that's something that I have great team members that support me with that. And that's definitely something that I am not so good at and I don't enjoy that much.
Mm-hmm. Just to add to that question, I mean, since you started off as a techie and being a techie myself, oftentimes I just want to, you know, at times not do the management stuff and just go in and code or create. Do you have that feeling as well at times?
I would say yes, every now and then yes. But since I also enjoy the people side, I kind of like also gravitate to that. But definitely I had times where I said, you know what, today I'm just going to try to write a MATLAB code and do something for myself and enjoy kind of like that techie side. So, yeah.
This episode was produced in cooperation with the ETH Entrepreneur Club, a student organization which aims to inspire, educate, and empower the next generation of entrepreneurs. The ETH Entrepreneur Club holds more than 40 events every year, resulting in an impressive alumni list of successful startups. If you want to keep up with their busy agenda, make sure to give them a follow on social media.
And what has been the biggest learning for you as a leader?
So biggest learning. I think one of them has been defining what we stand for, like our values, and then stay as truth as we possibly can to that. And that applies for the hiring piece, so try to find people that identify with that and that align with those values, but also with other, I would say not employees, it can also be for investors. So that's one of my biggest learnings. We almost had one very bad crucial moment in the company where we almost went with an investor that could have potentially wrecked the whole company and maybe I wouldn't be working at Beekeeper anymore because our values were just so distantly apart from each other. But we were in a situation where we had 3 weeks of runway, we were running out of money, it was a huge term sheet we had on the table, and we almost compromised that. So that's certainly one of the biggest learnings we've had.
How did you salvage that situation, or just out of curiosity?
Yeah, that was a very interesting couple of weeks. So it was actually after the due diligence, so we had this term sheet signed, the due diligence was starting, they come to our office, and that's when we realized that there was a very, very big gap in terms of how we like to work with each other and so on. And first, well, I started addressing it with our board. So we have a very close relationship with them. I told them, hey, I think there's something that doesn't feel right here. I said, well, Chris, you know, maybe it's the American style versus the European style. You need to get a little bit more easy about it. So just flow with it. Let's see. We had a couple of more conversations with that investor, but things started just spiraling out more out of control, I would say. Those were things like shouting at people in our offices and sending people out of an office room and saying, you come here and now I want to talk to you. And I don't know, a little bit like primary school type of things. So we were very different. We realized that we didn't have the money, but I'm super grateful. And that's where really good investors that we had stepped up and said, you know what, Chris, we've got you covered. We'll kind of like jump in and put our part in the round, even though the lead investor is going out. We as founders and some of the early employees, we also put some of our money into the company to extend the runway and win a couple of weeks more of cash. So it was everybody stepping up and kind of like chipping in order to make it work. But it was definitely one of the tough moments that taught me it's equally important to align on values with investors, board members, and everybody else.
So, you know, over the 12 years, I'm sure you've had many such challenging moments. How have you been like preparing for such changes? Can one even? And how do you invest in yourself?
Well, I think it's hard to prepare ahead for those situations, right? And it's much more like, what do you do when it happens? And I think one of the best things looking back at all those difficult situations has been always having a good, trusted set of people around that have genuinely good interests in making you successful or supporting you, that have some experience that is valuable to you. And just go out and be a little bit vulnerable and say, you know what, I'm in a deep trouble here and I need help. So I have this situation, what can we do, right? And there are different ways of getting that support. It can be from co-founders, it can be from board members. There are also great organizations like EO that also offer that type of support, or like what Barbara does as well, right? So I think that's definitely one of the supporting networks that you have in those difficult situations, because you cannot always foresee what's going to be hitting you and what kind of ups and downs you'll have in your startup.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of investing in yourself, is it with those organizations, or do you also personally do more things?
So I think, for example, for me, investing in myself or trying to keep myself grounded and sane, one thing that I do a lot is invest quite some time in sports. Mm-hmm. So it's one of the first things that when it gets difficult and there's pressure and you feel like, oh, I really need to work, the first thing you say, well, I'm not going to go for that run, or I'm not going to go for the gym. And the first things that you try to move out of the way. But over the years, I've learned that's exactly what I should not do. And I should really stick to that mountain bike ride or that run that you have to go to. And that at least has given me over all of these years a bit of a counterbalance to many of those situations. So that's certainly one way of investing in yourself, right? And beyond that, I'm a big believer in constant and never ending improvements and learning. So I try to read all sorts of books, starting from self-help, but also going into business. And try to pick the nuggets that are most relevant in those moments.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And so finally, last question. What is the next step that you're going to take in evolving your roles and responsibility? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, for us, now that the whole time has changed, also macroeconomically, I think a couple of years ago, it was all grow, 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 and everybody was excited about it, and you could just hire people, money was cheap, people were throwing money at companies. The wind has changed, and I think with that, a lot of the way founders think about their companies has changed, also for us, in the sense that now profitability, efficiency, breaking even are topics that are really important. So for the next foreseeable future, that's definitely one of the bigger changes in how we operate the business, to say, you know what, we want to own our own destiny and be able to pay for our own costs and make enough money so that it's really a business in the classical sense, where mm-hmm. you make enough money to pay your dues and you don't have to go ask mom and dad for money every single time that you run out of money, right? So that's certainly the next big phase in the company. And beyond that, we continue to be super excited about the opportunity to bring technology to the front line. We believe it's an underserved market. We see more and more investors waking up to this opportunity and saying, well, we really want to lean in. And we feel we're just scratching the surface of what it's possible.
Great. And how about for yourself? Like, do you see yourself also being in a different role then as you pivot more towards internal growth?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's something that also over the years we've learned as founders to do, as a founder team, to also question if we are the right ones for that role. Mm-hmm. We are four founders. My three co-founders have all evolved and changed their roles, some a little bit more, some a little bit less, but we all have evolved. I am still the only one with a CEO title to it, even though actually what I do has also changed and evolved massively. And yeah, as long as it's fun and I continue to feel like I'm the right one for the company, I'll do it. And the moment it's not the case, I'll step back and let somebody else take it to the next level.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you very much for your honest answers. And though it was a short conversation, I learned some things as well. And I'm sure that our listeners will also enjoy hearing this piece. So thank you for your time and inputs.
Thank you, Ansuya, for having me.
This episode was brought to you by Google Cloud, a partner that needs no introduction. What you might not have heard of, though, is that Google offers a Google for Startups cloud program where they give you access to startup experts, technical training, business support, and cover your Google Cloud costs up to $200,000 for 2 years, or even $350,000 if you're an AI startup. Scale your startup faster and smarter with Google Cloud. Head over to goo.gle/Swisspreneur.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you did, you can support us by rating our show on Apple Podcasts. This way, we can reach an ever-growing number of aspiring entrepreneurs.